Oh, I intro today?
Yep.
Oh, this is the Please Put Your Hands on Me podcast with Dan and Jim Miller.
You know,
such an asshole.
Why didn't I even get a mention on that?
Yeah.
I didn't mention myself either.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to. You're the one who
had
the intro.
And the tech master, Pat McGurn, behind the help. I shouldn't have said your last name. Holy shit, now they don't know
now
who you are.
Now people are going to be stalking me.
Holy yeah.
Women
Christ.
Showing up at my door.
McGurkin.
You want his email address, too?
Yeah.
I will never have to do that again.
You nailed it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hands On Podcast. That is our
crazy asshole man.
Yeah. And Bobby has to cut in front of us. I'm not even done with the intro.
No, I know.
And fucking Bobby and his goddamn Pumas or whatever they are. There you go, Bobby. Adidas. All day I... What is it? There's some song.
Dream About Soccer?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I think it was sex or something. But
Depends on what you're into, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. so welcome to the podcast. I'm Jim Miller. We have Dan Miller. Pat McGurkin.
I thought I already did it. Oh, he
no,
didn't
you
have
didn't
me
do
on.
It. You didn't do it well enough.
Oh. So you're editing that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're...
I take a stand. I think you nailed it.
Yes. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was really
good.
Okay.
It wasn't.
Even
I don't think
you.
He nailed it.
No.
It was good, though.
It was nice.
It was, yeah. It was the old man.
Yep.
To the T.
That's all you were going to get.
That's about as good, yeah. That's about as good as we're going to get.
So we're coming off of our first episode that we did in the cage. And
your last.
Probably, because we've already had, like, workman's comp complaint.
I can't tie my shoes. I can't chew any food.
there was somebody bleeding all over the place.
That's because you bit me.
I didn't bite you. So that was an interesting episode. I apologize because in rewatching it, the video sucked.
It was a little dark.
It was really dark. So then it became grainy. So when we do that again, we'll bring some proper lighting, and that way we're all sweating and squinting.
I'm surprised your singlet didn't emit more light. I was really counting on that.
Yeah.
Some fluorescence.
You know. I'm pretty pissed because I ripped it. The thread.
What do you expect from a 25-year-old singlet?
I expected it to be just to give a little bit more.
A little bit more?
A little bit more. A little bit more out of it.
Jim wrestled in that when he was like 47 pounds.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe 60 something.
I'm pretty sure that I got that when I was like 7 or 8.
72s.
No, I got it before
72?
That.
72?
I got it before that.
Jim was 72 in 8th grade, wasn't he?
Just about. I was 92 in 8th grade.
92 in 8th grade. It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah, 72. You were in 4th grade when you got that.
I was not in fourth. I was not. I was in 6th grade when I was 72, I think. Something like that.
That's
I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Dan was 72 pounds when he was 3 weeks old.
Yes.
So today we had.
You friggin' bastard.
Gross.
And now you know where we get it from.
Yeah, exactly. That's why there are always these strange little edits in all the ones we post up. We're missing a piece of time there. They probably said something stupid. So there were some fights this last weekend. Two of our good friends and training partners fought. Shorty Rock, Shorty Santella, Sean Santella, a guy that's been training with us for quite some time. Yeah, and he's the head jiu-jitsu instructor here at Miller Brothers MMA. He fought and performed phenomenally. Went out, won a dominant fight, submitted his opponent 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes into the third round.
with a rear naked choke. Looked really good. He's definitely ready for the next level. Definitely ready for the UFC. It was a near perfect performance.
Really?
He did really good.
Listen,
he did listen.
You cornered him. He listened well.
He did listen. Well, the thing was, it was a title fight. So then you got four people in the corner.
No, yeah. That's
you know how Brian is.
Mm-hmm. He tries to shush you.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
We always seem to have those guys in our corner that shush everybody and put their ass in your face and try to block you out. he listened really well, and it was one of those ones where it's like, all right, well, you know, in between rounds, just doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing.
That was a big win, too, because SMG had some steam behind him.
Yeah.
I listened to a couple interviews, and Shorty wasn't supposed to be able to stand with him, and his hands looked pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely won the striking game. He got caught with one good shot in the first round that actually opened him up a little bit. But Shorty, made the mean face, you know, like rolled it out a little bit and then bit down and started throwing some leather.
Yeah.
That kid should never worry about getting knocked out by a 25 pounder. You know, I mean, there's some of those guys hit pretty hard, but you know, I mean, it all depends on your weight, and he's been hit by much bigger men in practice than he's going to fight in the cage. And
yeah.
He's never even been close to being hurt by shots, in the cage. So, Shorty, don't worry about it. Fucking bite down. Chin now, down, bite down.
My jiu-jitsu is not good enough to know how good Shorty's jiu-jitsu is, but is there anybody at 25s that's going to give him a hard time once it hits the mat?
There are a few.
Yeah.
There are a few guys, yeah. You know, what's his face that he was got the fight offered to fight?
Wilson.
Yeah. He's a world champ, you know. Yeah, I mean, there are a few very good jiu-jitsu practitioners at 125s. But Shorty has the type of game that
he can beat those kind of guys.
Yeah, yeah. He's not going to
– aggressive. And he comes out and he goes after things. He doesn't play the safe jiu-jitsu. You know, there are guys in that division that have some, you know, phenomenal jiu-jitsu.
There's nobody that's going to do to him like what Damian Maia does to people.
No, there's not nobody that's dominating Shorty.
You know, and just completely out jiu-jitsu him. You know, he's definitely ready for that next level. So, Shorty will be on with us on Friday. Just before the holidays.
Yeah.
We're going to grab a bottle of SoCo and a vat of cherries from Costco.
Some peanut butter.
Yeah, some peanut butter.
It's like a Shorty trap.
Yeah.
You won't be able to resist.
Yeah, you won't. Yeah.
I don't like the sound of where it's going.
You won't like where it ends up either.
Yeah. Old peg leg. So he'll be on Friday with us. So we'll go a little bit more in depth about his fight and what's on the horizon for him at the end of the week. And then also fighting the same night that Shorty fought was Mickey Gall. Fought on UFC Fight Night, Van Zandt Waterson in the co-main event. And it was actually 1 minute apart.
Yeah.
Like, Shorty locked on his rear naked choke and Mickey locked on his rear naked choke 1 minute apart in this strange, bizarre universe that we live in. You know, Mickey went out and had a great fight. Stood, was able to trade with Sage a bit and knock him down.
Yeah, knocked him down.
And then when it went to the mat, you knew that
you knew that
Mickey was going to control the game on the mat. And, you know, Sage took a sloppy shot, and Mickey capitalized, took it back, and choked the heck out of him.
Yeah. No, Mickey looked good. He did. He was jawing, making Sage jaw back. They were getting into it. But, know, he did look good. He you know, his stand up looked crisp, and you knew once it hit the mat, that was Mickey's world. Mm. So
that's so funny because like Mickey's a really good guy.
Yeah,
you know, like he was running our kids program here at MBMMA for a little bit, and phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal with the little kids. You know, he's got a couple sisters and stuff like that, so he's around kids. And but he's just a sweet kid.
Yeah.
And I've had conversations with Sage, and he's a nice guy, man. And it's like, here these guys are jarring at each other, and the only thing I've ever said to somebody in a fight is, "Good job, nice work." You know, it's like I'm a South Park Canadian of fighting. Good job, friend. I'm not your friend, pal.
I was actually surprised when they were announcing. I forget which announcer said it, but they were like, "Oh, you know, Mickey's got that mean streak. Mickey's nasty." I was like, "You don't know Mickey, man. Yeah. I've never seen a mean streak."
When he fights, he's a little different. I mean, he gets amped up. You can see it. He just gets amped up and he gets going. I don't think I've ever opened my mouth in a fight ever and said anything in a fight to the other guy. Just, I don't know. There was never a point in time where it was like, I don't know, I just never said anything. I'm trying to punch the guy in the face, not talk.
It was I've never said anything while the fight was going on.
Yeah.
I'm usually just too busy breathing heavy.
Yeah. Exactly. Concentrating on breathing.
Yeah.
What do you think caused Sage to shoot? You think he was overconfident about his ground game, or he got
Mickey
caught with that shot and he had to shoot?
He was rushing in, and he just kind of ducked his head under. Because Sage was trying to come up, and Mickey was rushing him, so he just kind of ducked down and tried to take double leg him, and it was just, you know, Mickey was ready for it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he just got clipped, knocked out.
In some of the pre-fight interviews, Sage was saying that he had a better ground game than Mickey.
Yeah.
Well, that's pre-fight.
I mean, you got to say it. I just didn't know how much he was actually believing, if he was anticipating that going well.
That's for him to know.
Yeah.
And we found out. Also on the card, you know, the main event, Van Zandt Waterson.
Michelle Waterson looked great.
She did.
Really
great. Yeah.
You know, she came out and, controlled it. Just did excellent. Beautiful throw. Beautiful back take off the throw.
Yeah.
Paige tried to scramble up, and Michelle just, you know, spun around on her back. And then once there was something, I mean, I don't know where Paige was breathing from.
Yeah.
But she was under that chin for a long time and squeezing, and you could see Paige was starting to get red. It was a good amount of time that she was being choked.
Mm.
But, you know, Michelle looked good. She's going to, you know, give people a run for their money in that division.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of a tell that that Paige needs to work a bit on her ground game, man. She's been controlled and dominated a couple times now.
Yeah, Rose.
Yeah, just Rose just beat her up.
Crap out of her on the mat.
So it's, you know, it's just one of those things. And sometimes it's just the night and shit like that. But she's got all the talent. She's definitely, she sells.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good fight. And then you had the California kid calling it quits and telling everybody he's calling it quits.
Mm-hmm.
Putting that extra pressure, getting all of those questions asked.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is, how's it feel going in your last fight? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up. Went out and had a tough fight with Pickett. You know, and I mean, Pickett's no slouch, man.
No.
He's been around for a while. And what's crazy is that Pickett's actually older than him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was by a year, I think.
Yeah. And for a 35 pounders, you know, to be 38 37, 38 years old, whatever they are now. It's pretty, he's pretty impressive.
He's 38.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but he went out and, you know, Urias had a hell of a career, man, and you know, I tip my hat to him.
Yeah.
He's fought all the best. You know, he didn't always come out on top, but he fought everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those guys that, tough motherfucker, to go out and to break both of your hands and continue to fight somebody.
Continue to fight, trying to elbow.
Yeah, that takes balls.
Yeah,
that takes, you know, some big balls, man. So, you know, he's definitely one of those guys that he had a big impact on the sport, particularly for the smaller weight classes. So,
yeah, he brought some relevancy to the smaller weight classes, like earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, obviously, you know, they're pretty big, but in WC, he was kind of the image, and that's why people watched it.
Yeah,
the smaller weights. So, you know, it was good to watch him, you know, kind of hang it up and get the win. You know, he's been a guy who's been around for a long time and did a lot for the sport.
I don't know what he's meant by saying he feels like Fedor looks. Because Fedor looks exactly like he's always looked.
He has not aged.
Now, if
you
said he looks like Big Nog looks,
yeah,
I'd be like, man, he feels like shit. after fighting Fedor three times, then I get it. I get the gist of what he's trying to say. But yeah, you feel stoic and stone faced. You feel like you're wearing a sweet sweater. another fight on the main card that we had was the Joban.
I was Perry. So glad of that fight.
Yeah.
Derail that hype train.
Yeah. You know, Joban beat him up. It was kind of funny because I saw something like post fight that Joban was saying that Perry like was a bully or is a bully or something like that, which is kind of silly from one fighter talking about another fighter.
Somebody would just beat somebody up.
Yeah, and you just beat him up, you know, because he's like either – I forget what the context of why he said it in his pre-fight or during the fight was jarring or something like that.
Well, before the fight, Joban took everything Perry said kind of personally. Mm. Said he was old, slow. He was on his way out.
Can't turn left.
Yeah. Perry was just trying to get under his skin, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Joban took it all personally, and he didn't like him, you know. But I guess, it didn't work because Joban won.
I read he looked good doing it. I read Joban said that Mike Perry's approach makes him a leader of weak people. So, like, I took it like the people who aren't really into the sport that, like, the WWE side of things were totally into that. But the real fans appreciate the actual fighting.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's still a good fight, no matter how you slice it.
No, yeah, definitely. And then on, what was that, the prelims, right? Prelims, you had Cole fight?
Yeah.
Right? Or is that the...
Yep, Cole's on the Fox Sports prelims.
Yeah, Fox Sports prelims. And that was the last fight of his contract. And he does not want to come back. Feels jaded.
Hirota looked strong, man.
Yeah.
He looked like a real tough, you know, strong, got inside and just really ground him out.
You know, it was one of those things. I got hearing Cole talk about it, you know, and – He's had his troubles with the UFC, you know, as of lately, and he wanted to meet with the new owners or whatever to discuss contracts and stuff, and he got turned down. And, you know, I can see a part of what he's saying, but then what sucks about it is, like, then all that shit weighs on you, man. And I've never seen somebody
particularly like Cole, I mean, he's game. He's a game fighter.
Yeah.
In the lead up to this fight, you could tell that he did not want to be there. Like, the last thing that he wanted to do was to step into the octagon.
Yeah.
And that sucks, you know. And whether it had any impact on what actually happened, you know, if he would have won otherwise, you can't say, because the fight is the fight, you know, and that's it. You know, the whole hypotheticals and all that shit does not apply in the Miller universe.
Except for Dad.
Except for Dad.
Dad lives in a hypothetical universe. Everything is a hypothetical situation.
999 times out of 1,000, Cole Miller wins. I mean, 999.
I wouldn't have said
maybe 998.
I wouldn't have said that.
But yeah, you know, it's just, it's unfortunate, you know, but, cause he's a good dude. You know, I had the opportunity to grapple against him, it was a fun time. He ended up beating me on points, bullshit.
And that time, that he wins 99 out of 1,000 times.
Just 99?
99.
No. So Jim's got that one.
Yeah, got that one.
Because 99 of 1,000 isn't that.
It's not that good.
It's not that good.
yeah, you know. I mean, not to make excuses, but that
in
was
the hypothetical situation.
In the actual situation, that's the summer that I had the rotavirus, and every time I smelled smelly things, I puked.
Wait, did you have that up in Canada?
What?
The rotavirus? Is that why you smelled smelly thing and then threw up?
No, no. No, that was not. No, it was like, I don't know, the kids got sick.
Yeah.
Everyone we all got sick. And then
for like
2 months, every time I took out the garbage, I'd yak. Half the times I'd go to take my first sip of coffee in the morning and the smell of it would be too strong and I'd yak. And I'm so happy that I did not tell you guys.
Yeah.
Because I would have been trolled.
I would have capitalized on that. Yeah. You do have the weakest stomach ever.
Yeah.
That is, I know.
Was not
hands down.
You do have a weak stomach.
It's not that I have a weak stomach.
You do.
Maybe.
Yes, you do.
Maybe.
Would you eat an oyster on camera for us?
I would try to. Yeah, I'd try to. If it was a good oyster.
Would you throw up?
I might.
Like you did.
I might.
Like you did.
I might.
We'll get Karen here to hammer it down for you.
Yeah.
Well, she's an expert.
Yeah. Talk about my sister like that.
Dude.
If it's too salty, yes, I will yak it right up. I am the 33-year-old man that if I'm swimming in the ocean and I get a little salt water in my mouth, I'll puke.
So back to my point, you have a super weak stomach.
It's not that I've – maybe.
He's got a short gag reflex. Yeah, doesn't like salty things.
I've got a bad gag reflex. We were out at one of the first fighter summits.
I think it was the rotavirus out there.
No,
we – they had one of the mouthpiece companies.
It was shock. No, it was a shock doctor.
No,
it was a fight doctor or something like that.
Something like that. Fight dentist. So they were out and they were molding our teeth. And I've had my teeth molded, you know, 30 times. I've had orthodontic work and braces and all that shit. The issue is that. Believe it or not, I've got a big mouth. So
believe it or not.
Believe it or not. But I've got, like, the back of my teeth, it's pretty wide. So I always have to use the large trays. So if I use a regular tray, my teeth hit, and I can't, you know, they can't do it. So what ended up happening is he grabbed the regular tray, didn't fit. So he grabs the large one, but the large one is –
too long.
Yeah, it's too long. It's a little too beaucoup, you know. Puts that up there, and I just start drooling like fucking hell, and I'm fighting it back so hard, but sitting there just going,
And I'm wearing one of those paper gowns. And in the 90 seconds that it takes to freaking do a mold, this whole, like, bib is just soaked. It's like Dan and I forget who it was, one of the other fighters.
I was dying
laughing.
We're
just
laughing
at me.
Hard.
And there I am almost puking for a minute and a half or 2 minutes. And the guy, like, picks up the bin. It's just like, I'm just going to toss this one out. it was bad. Not my proudest moment. But hey, I've got a short gag reflex, and it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean anything in my lifestyle. So,
how do we go from short gag reflex from Cole Miller to short gag reflex?
Because I was telling about how I puked a lot before that, not to make excuses or anything like that in a grappling match, but. And he had Laborio in his corner, and I didn't. So, you know.
That could have helped.
It could have helped.
Yeah.
It's like one of the greatest jiu-jitsu practitioners to ever walk the earth. And I had a blue belt.
What was it telling you? Roll for the ankle lock?
Told.
Roll for the told.
But yeah, you know, so wish him luck. Wish Cole luck.
Yeah.
You know, whatever path he heads down now. He's a long lost cousin, so.
Wherever he lands, they'll be lucky to have him. Because he always puts on a good show, whether it's grappling, whether it's Bellator. You know, I'll tune into whatever he's fighting on to watch.
Yeah. Do we have any questions coming in, Pat?
No, sir.
No, sir. Nobody watching. You know, you always tell us this, and then, like, I go back and I look, and there's always comments.
There's always questions and comments.
Hmm. Like, you're supposed to tell us what people are saying.
I can't actually read. I think that's pulled it off for this long. Yeah. If our viewers could send in pictures, it would definitely make it up. No, there are no comments.
No comments.
Randall Swagger did give us a thumbs up, though.
Yeah?
Yep.
Thanks for the thumbs up. Fire right back at you.
Yeah.
So, in, what, like 3 weeks? Something like that? We're going to go to the ATAs. Fuck shit up.
That's right.
Hey, Jim, what are the ATAs?
I don't know.
Great question, Pat.
Question just came in.
Randall wants to know, what are the ATAs,
Pat? Why don't you pull up the website? Pull up the website. The ATAs. It's an archery trade show.
It's awesome.
And hunting. And
wouldn't that be ATS?
No, it's not.
No. So Pat is looking it up for us at the moment because I don't know what the acronym.
Archery Trade Association.
Archery Trade Association. So, our buddies Stan and Greg from A&W Nation Labs are heading out there, and we're gonna go and punch people in the stomach that are walking by their venue, and just to get them to stop, because that's how
buy this.
That's how good of people we are. Liver shot, we're probably gonna try to make, you know, tease them a little bit over there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's gonna be awesome just because. It's the first time for us. We went to one of the ones down in Pennsylvania. Where the hell was it? Carlisle?
Harrisburg.
Yeah, Harrisburg, something like that. You know, it's more of like a just an outdoor show that on air. And this is pretty cool because it's all about archery. Mm-hmm. And I do love archery. And these guys try archery.
I love archery.
What is your excuse going to be when I beat you in the shoot-off?
There, you will not beat me in the shoot-off.
Are you going to say you had the rotavirus?
Probably.
There's going to be some excuse.
Yeah.
Pat smelled very strong.
Maybe.
There will be some excuse when he loses.
We'll see.
Because he's going
to
lose.
We still need to
Whether
work out the
you,
details.
To me, to Stan, to Greg.
The old man.
Not the old man.
No.
He's not going to lose the old man.
I think that bull guy could be a secret weapon.
Everybody's losing to me.
No.
Guaranteed.
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 Okay. So we can sit here and we can argue about it. We still haven't we still haven't sorted out the whole details of how the Lights Out Shootout is actually going to happen. The Lights Out Shootout is by the way, it's our it's a giveaway that the A&W Nature Labs guys are doing. You can go to their website and sign up for it. And what it is we're going to have a shoot out, believe it or not, between the six of us, the four of us that are here, and Stan and Greg. We're going to do it inside the gym, so we're going to have to do something that's kind of safe for the environment in here. So we will definitely not be ripping the crossbow for the old man. But we're going to do something cool. We're going to have a little, you know, target set up. And the whole idea is of it is that we're going to pick we're going to pick winners. The six of us are going to pick winners, and those six individuals will then be represented by one of the shooters. And everyone of those six will be winning a prize, but then it'll go from, you know, grand prize down. So whoever the old man picks is kind of shit out of luck, but
he's going to get something.
Yeah, you're going to get something. And also, if you sign up and you don't get picked, if you kind of like a little wagering thing, you know, like if you pick the shooter that wins, you will get a, what is it, 10%?
I don't think it's been determined, but it's your store. So
I believe
it's 10%. And Dan, you'll get to call it.
I believe it's 10% off.
If you
want
a little side time, you can make it up.
At 10% off at the
I
moment.
Believe it's 10%.
Damn, it just became 10%.
At the Miller Brothers MMA store, we've got shirts. We've got mugs.
Mugs are awesome.
And if you're willing to wait, we could make you some sweatshirts. We're supposed to be getting some stock in, so hopefully they'll be updated very shortly. But yeah, it should be a good time. And what do we got? We got Titanium Archery Products. They donate some stuff. Mountain Ops donate some stuff. Is that Alps Outdoors?
Alps Outdoors, yeah, a real nice book bag.
excuse me, sorry. So yeah, there's some really sweet gear that's going to be given away, and also the A&W guys giving some of their stuff away, and yeah, it's going to be fun to destroy Stan, Greg's
Stan
a good guy.
A douche.
Yeah, Stan, I can't wait to just rub it in his face. you know, like I really want to roll with him. I know he gave it up.
I would bet $1 million that we do not make it through the Lights Out Shootout with some form of grapple.
Without, yeah.
It's impossible with you two there.
We're not always the ones that
seriously.
Pick it.
Yeah. People want to show off in front of us.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah, Stan is going to want to show his jiu-jitsu skills on YouTube.
I actually rolled with him. He started it. We went in the cage, and he started pushing me. I didn't start it.
This is suspect. We're going to need Stan to weigh in.
I'm sure
that.
Stan's going to.
Yeah.
I'm pretty totally
sure,
honest.
I'm pretty sure that you started it, Dan.
Probably.
He was defending himself.
Yeah, okay. Black belts don't start anything, Jim.
No.
Black belts finish.
So I got off on the tangent of the Lights Out Shootout. But, yeah, so we're going to the ATAs with these guys right after the shootout.
Hopefully they'll be cool about their loss.
Yeah, you know,
and still let us.
Yeah, tag along and
punch people at their booth.
Yeah, punch people at their booth and say hi to people and rub elbows. And then SHOT Show's right after that. But I think I have.
Yeah.
I allegedly.
Allegedly.
have a fight. like right after that. So going to both back to back might be tough. But, yeah, be good. because we are trying to get into that realm, the outdoor lifestyle realm.
I'm pretty excited to be 3 days at a gigantic show that is just for hunting and archery.
I'm gonna cut weight just so I can go out there and eat, because I like to be in big cities and eat.
What is it? Where is it? I'm sorry.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Yeah. So.
We're going to have to do a podcast from the hotel room in Indianapolis.
Yeah, we will. The biggest pain in the ass is shipping all the stuff out there because we're flying.
Mm-hmm. Can we put it in a suitcase?
Yeah, we can put it in a suitcase, but we're out there for 2 days. I'm wearing a pair of pants. I'm not even packing underwear. I'll just turn it inside out.
Yeah.
You know?
Or just not wear it at all.
Yeah. There you go.
But what if it starts to smell strong?
I'm not like that anymore.
Strong duck butter and it's going.
Although being back on the doxycycline, I would not want to risk it. Not having a couple of extra pairs.
I don't think, because it's pretty much a year ago exactly. Not exactly, but 11 months ago. You smelled something strong, and you yacked everywhere. So
I got really drunk the night before.
When does that ever happen?
I drank Fireball whiskey.
When they're drunk. It doesn't happen to me. When I get drunk and I'm hungover, if I smell something strong, I don't yak.
Nobody's shit smells as bad as yours, Dan. It was confined space. It was very cold, so it was very dense.
I'm going to have to back Jim up on this, that Dan does have the most disgusting smells leave his anus in the form of a vapor that you can almost taste.
It's not only that. And, it's his ability.
Disgusting.
It's his ability to then fart any smell.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like,
can smell folks, fart,
the
fart
folks at
smell.
Home probably don't understand it, but – if Dan smells something smelly, he farts out that smell 3 to 4 hours later.
He's like a chameleon.
He really is. He's like absorbing it.
Yeah. I think then, I swallow a lot of air.
Yeah, he's a mutant. He's a mutant.
That's my mutant power.
It's like, yeah.
I can fart and smell.
You lucky son of a bitch.
I could have had like super healing powers or flying, but no.
Shoot laser beams out of his eyeballs.
No, nope. I can fart and smell.
He could smell like pheasant innards, which are
pretty
gross smelling, you know, like and fart that smell out. He could fart out the smell like deer pee. Hot garbage.
That's a crowd favorite. Yeah. Hot garbage. Dan, do hot garbage again.
What are you typing over there, Patrick? Somebody asking about Dan's superpower?
Yeah.
No, actually, Michelle and Kristen were killing me because I left it on the A&W site too long, and they thought maybe the feed was frozen. They were...
And no, then, it's just our lazy tech man.
No, and then the old man also kind of made them think that it was frozen because he had a really funny look on his face, and you were pretty still for a while there.
Yeah,
so he was sleeping with his eyes open, just so our viewers know.
Just try to.
They wanted a
shake
wellness
it
check.
Off.
Yeah.
Somebody poke him.
Somebody get me a beer.
Yeah.
Your closest.
Yeah. And when you do get up, get me one.
Oh, God.
It's off now. They can't hear us.
You know, that's very impolite to the people at home.
I shut them down.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not talking into it and you're just rubbing it across the couch,
like snaps it off.
Reason to have it on.
Snaps it off, throws it on the couch. I apologize for my father and his lack of manners.
Respect.
He was raised in a barn.
Savage.
Speaking of please.
Yak master. Fuck you, Dad.
We went to high school with the Yak master.
Yak master.
He was real.
He was real. That guy was real.
So speaking of archery, I got to go up out back in the farm today with my longbow. No. This is not the bow. You couldn't draw that back.
The listeners can't hear you unless you put your headset on.
It's not on anyway. Don't worry about it. I just took a couple videos of me shooting some stumps and shit like that.
Wow, this 4K is beautiful. I don't think it's going to translate.
No, it doesn't
translate.
It
really does make a difference.
It is. Yeah, it's very sharp.
Gorgeous.
But so this is a bow that I made myself. I've made two. You are so bad.
Well, that's tech man for leaving them.
Seriously. Well, he started talking, and he yells at me that he's not on all the time.
But
this is a really good video of a stick that
Jim
shot.
Well, listen, I zoomed in. I zoomed back out so you could see the actual distance, so I wasn't like 3 inches away.
He ran up to
and
3 inches away.
And then, yeah, I ran up so that I wasn't on screen, and I shot over top of the stick. I was out back, and we've had a bunch of rabbits running around and stuff, and I was going to see if I could shoot a rabbit, make my kids cry. We had a good talk.
A good dad.
Daisy Buttercup.
We had a good
down
talk.
Hard.
We were watching Legends of the Fall last night, and
great movie.
Probably the best Brad Pitt movie.
Oh yeah.
One of the best movies ever created. I get goosebumps at the end, like. When he dies in the woods. It's a good death.
Spoiler alert. What about our viewers that haven't seen it?
If you haven't seen it, you can just shut this shit off.
Yeah.
So we were watching it, and where the hell is that remote? Yeah. Does he have it? Yeah.
He got it.
The scene where the calf gets caught in the barbed wire fence, and he's like, you know, yelling and stuff, and then he pops up and he shoots it. And my 6-year-old and my 5-year-old, like, Daddy, why did he shoot the cow? I'm like, well, because he couldn't save it. He tried to save it and couldn't get it out of the fence, you know, so we shot it. Is it dead now? Yeah, it's dead now. And I'm like, he's not supposed to do that. Like, he's supposed to save it. Like, why couldn't he get a chainsaw to cut the fence? Because he couldn't. The calf was going to, you know, the calf was in trouble. It was suffering. So he needed to do the right thing, the responsible thing, and, you know, and make it quick for it. And they were, like, not having it.
Yeah.
Why? It's like, I just get a chainsaw. Dad, what cuts barbed wire fences? Fencing pliers. I get those. And a chainsaw.
And like, a chainsaw. That sounds like why.
Yeah.
I get two chainsaws.
I'm like, all right. So, if I had shot a bunny rabbit, then they probably would have. They're kind of getting to that point where they know, you know, like, oh, yeah, hunting, shoot deer, stuff like that. Like, they're excited about it. But then they're also compassionate like that. Not like me.
No.
Nope. Cold.
You gotta whoop that out of them.
Yeah, that's right.
So rabbits are kind of weird the way you cook them, right? Because a lot of them have, is it parfo? So you can't just gobble them up?
You got to check the liver, if they have, like, spots in their liver and stuff, then they're not healthy. But there have been so many around, man. We had a bunch. And, of course, you don't see them. But, yeah, I was only out for a little bit. But I got to tell you, though, I walking back through the pasture, there are some trophy cow pies.
Ooh.
Like, trophy cow pies.
So you can whoop your ass.
Well, the only one that hits them is Dan.
That is not true.
It is true.
It was that night.
It was that night. It was that night.
So it has been true.
It has been true on that one particular night.
And it wasn't once. So don't make
cow
it
pie.
Like it was once.
Jim had the rotavirus.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Probably did.
He got a stick in his shooting eye.
That's right.
The 3 days before, and it was still bothering him.
The cow pie smelled
very
strong.
He had a blister on his finger, and the cow pies were stinky.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were. No. Shooting dried like year-old cow pies is out of the air is probably
mm-hmm. it's fun as hell.
Yeah, it's probably you. I mean,
top five things
not,
to do.
Yeah, not that you could think any less of us at this point.
No.
If you're listening, but it's probably top five.
This actually brings us up, Jim.
It must bring us up. It has to bring us up.
Wait, you shoot shit?
You shoot
cow
pie?
Now you're
nothing.
We went up.
Nothing explodes yeah. like a cow pie getting hit with a bunny buster. No.
The sound.
We should bring some to the ATA to let them know that we're legit. Yeah. Good size of this cow pie.
They're frozen pretty hard right now. Yeah, there were some whoppers. So I'll have to make sure that I don't shoot them on the ground and we save them for some aerial targets.
There's a viewer out there right now who's like grossed out, and I'm like, God, I would never do that. But I guarantee if they came in the back and they saw us shooting cow pies, be like, I'll give it a try. And then by the end of the day, they're addicted. They love shooting cow pies.
This is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
They're buying cow pies.
It's going to be a market. We should go to the ATAs with
cow pies. Cow pies. There you go. Boxes of cow pies.
And be like, we are going to revolutionize the target market.
Fertilize and shoot at the same time.
Take your block, your Reinhardt, your hurricane bag, throw them all away. I got cow pies for you. It's an interactive target. It's kind of like the rubber dummy. You know,
I love
them. They don't all fly the same. Mm-hmm. They're all over the place.
There is the fact that it's a turd.
You don't have
you
to
kind of lose that.
Up.
You kind of lose that after the first couple, though. It's just like whatever you're throwing cow pies.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a good time.
The kids love finding them.
The look on their face. The look on their face. Dad, look at this one.
Awesome.
Look at this one. All right, don't pick it up yet. Yeah. Just be gentle. Be gentle.
These kale pies are delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your longbow, Jim, you did not purchase it as a complete unit.
No, I made two laminate longbows, straight limb longbows. The first one I fudged up quite a bit, and I ended up having to shorten it up a little bit, and still only like 30 pounds.
Perfect for the light
perfect,
session.
Yeah, perfect. And then the second one's about 52 at 28, and it is 64 inches from knock to knock. Camo, green laminate. It's a beautiful thing.
How long did that take you?
You know what? It actually doesn't take that long at all. A lot of the time that it takes making the bow is waiting, you know, waiting for it to cure. So you shape the riser, which is pretty straightforward. You know, you have to take your time when feathering out the ends of it. But other than that, it's pretty easy. Laminate everything up. That takes like, an hour or so. And to glue everything up, you put it in a curing box and let it cure overnight. And then it's a matter of shaping it and stuff like that, you know. And the toughest part about it is, you know, it's a longbow, so it's not a center shot. So it is a little bit harder to tune arrows to it than if it were like a center shot recurve. But, you know, it's really cool. I was able to shoot a pig with it last year. And that was pretty cool. You know, and that's the only thing that I've shot with it so far.
Nobody brought a deer up to you on a leash.
That's true. The pig was in a pen, Dad.
Yeah. It wasn't on a leash, Dad.
It was in a pen.
God, what a dick.
Yeah, seriously.
Then when they rolled the cage up.
Mm-hmm. they made closer? No, closer.
A little closer.
A little closer. A little bit closer. But yeah, you know, it's cool to just, like, I've gotten some deer with the bow and some small game and stuff like that, but with the compound. But being like a traditional archery, and then being with something that I made, it's just pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like having a greater hand in the whole process, you know, and having more control over the whole process, even though the bow is not, you know, it stacks and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't shoot smooth as hell and all that stuff. It's still cool just to have done it. Mm-hmm. And to made it myself, and I like it. I do like traditional archery. It's pretty awesome. Just the different aspect of it, because it's a lot more like tuning the arrow than modern archery, and the whole thing that bugs me about stuff like that is that even the infighting in excuse me in hunting, you get like the modern archers give traditional archer shit because, well, you're less effective, you know, it's less humane, all this crap. Traditional archers give modern archers shit because, well, you know, you're using all this extra technology, and then archers give firearm hunters shit because, well, you know,
yeah,
you're shooting them from 200 yards away and not from 30 yards away, and then gun hunters give archers shit because, you know, it's you know, you're not as effective, and you're supposed to be effective and actually kill shit and stuff like that, and it's just bullshit, all of it. And yeah, nothing. You're not gonna chime in, do you? Like, you're just gonna sit there.
Yeah, I was just gonna sit here and let it go because I think archery sucks.
Yeah.
Shoot something with a gun. If you're gonna shoot something, you might as well blow its head off.
That's right.
No, I think it's ridiculous too. You know, it's hunting. Mm. It's all hunting, and you know, hunting should be. You know, we should all be friends.
I've heard a couple of guys that you know, that I follow have talked about this recently, and the way that I look at it is that, like, we don't get to hunt in, you know, in here it is 2016, almost 2017. The only reason we get to hunt is because we're allowed to hunt. You know, we're allowed to buy a license.
Yeah.
And you know, otherwise it's,
you pay for it, basically.
Yeah, you pay for it. So you need to be effective to a certain degree. Like, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're here in New Jersey, you're allowed unlimited doe pretty much any freaking season. And if you're like us and you can't shoot anything, then you're a bad hunter. And they're going to then hire sharpshooters to come in to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
To do the job that we're actually paying to do. But, like, you know, there are people that, oh, well, you know, use everything. What do you mean use everything? Like, what does everything mean? Everything is a pretty encompassing word. You know, every piece of the animal is the bones, the intestines, the sinew, you know.
Yeah.
Like, how much cord can I make out of sinew, you know? Like, how many bone needles do I need? Have I played with doing that shit? Yeah, I have, because I've got too much time on my hands, you know? But if you use a vast majority of the meat, fine, you know? If you're hunting within legal means, that's enough for me. That's enough reverence for the animal for me. Because you could easily break the law and go out and do it, and poach things. So if you're doing it within legal means, then I give a rat's ass how you do it. If you use, you know, a bow, a crossbow, a firearm, it doesn't matter. You know, to then even say, like, to do some of the rituals.
Drink the blood.
Yeah, drink the blood, all this stuff. Praying to gods that you don't believe in, what's the hell's the point of that?
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't believe in the gods that thought it was good luck to throw the buck nuts in a tree,
then why the hell do you need to do it in order to show respect to the fucking buck?
Mm-hmm. See, I think I agree with you to a certain extent, but I think you owe it to the animal to practice. Like when we were going to go out this weekend, I had not shot my shotgun, so I was not going out with the shotgun.
Yeah.
Because I was not on target. I don't want to wound something and have it suffer. And with the bow, you know, I love shooting the bow, and I think it's great because I can shoot it in the backyard, but half the time I go out there, it's to practice out of respect for that animal. So I know that I'm taking the best shot I possibly can. So as long as you practice with that intention, but I don't think, you know, if you just go out there and you've never shot your gun or you haven't practiced with the bow, I think that's disrespectful to the animal, and it shouldn't – it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You owe it to the animal to be as accurate as possible.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You do.
To me, it's not. It's not out of respect to the animal doing it within legal limits, because you can still do it respectfully to the animal if you're poaching.
Well,
you
yes.
know.
Listen,
but you know,
my kids aren't gonna like, go hungry outside. You know.
No, I understand that. No, yes, and and most people that are hunting, that's the same. It's the same thing. They're shooting it because they like to go hunting, and they like venison. Hmm. It's not because they're trying to feed their family. They're not going out because they're desperate to feed their family.
Oh yeah,
because God, fucking, I mean, spent $200 and something on licenses in New Jersey.
Yeah,
can buy a pretty good amount of food.
Yeah.
But yeah, practicing and being taking the right shot. Being in the woods and taking the right shot, passing up on stuff that it's not a good shot. Whether it's a really nice, you know, buck or not.
Taking 200-yard shots with a shotgun that you've never shot before.
Yep.
Did I get him?
Did you get him? On the third shot.
On the third shot.
he didn't move. Dumb he son of a bitch should have ran then.
He did run.
He didn't run.
He ran back.
He
went down in the swamp and then came back up. Said, oh, friggin' mosquitoes around here.
One of the things that pisses me off is that people are always like, oh, you know, usually it's archers and then it's traditional archers, and they're like, oh well, you know, what would your ancestors think about, you know, using the gun? What would our ancestors think, you know, using this technology?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, a fucking sharp stick was technology over an unsharpened stick.
Yeah, they would be like, hell yeah, give me a fucking gun.
Give me the fucking gun. they fucking drove herds of animals off of cliffs for crying out loud, like. Indiscriminate killing because they needed to kill, you know, it didn't matter.
They were actually trying
doing
to
it to survive. Like Native Americans used to freaking poison animal. They used to use poison. They used to freaking poison fish all the time.
Yeah.
Like, and then what would they do with the fish? They'd stick them in the ground hole and use them as fertilizer to grow corn.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what? They had respect for it because they needed it, and they prayed to the deities and stuff like that, you know, and they had the reverence for it. But, like, you know, using a firearm is nothing, you know, it's not even, like, comparable.
Yeah.
To say, okay, well, yeah, I'm making that right shot. I'm only shooting this, you know. A mature animal or an animal that is no longer contributing to the population and shit like that, or I'm culling animals so that the population is healthy. That's more respectful than just like the full blown slaughter. Granted, that slaughter was required to survive, but it's like. Kind of crazy.
So, Jim, you just brought up the size of the deer, and Ryan Kern actually had a question. How do you feel about hunters bashing other hunters about the size of the deer they shoot?
I it's all on you, man. It's all on the person. Like, why can't we all just get along? Like, you know, I get it.
It shouldn't happen. Because what's the difference? So what?
No, I mean, I get it when
you know, when somebody is of the type that, okay, well, I'm only going to shoot, you know, a three-year-old. So then somebody that's going out and just blasting button bucks, you're not helping the herd. Like, you're not helping the genetics of the herd. So, yes, you're controlling the population to a degree, because how many – it only takes one buck to have sex with a fucking 100 does, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, I'm pretty sure every man in the room can – like, it's – that's just the way that it works. You want to control it, you control the females. But it's just – yeah, I don't know. Everybody's got their own set of morals when it comes to it. If they're doing something that that's legal, then they're doing something that's legal. You know, should they show respect for the animals? Like you said, should they make accurate shots? Should they practice all this stuff? Yes. You can give somebody shit for that, I think. But, like, the antlers don't taste good in soup.
No.
Anything else, Pat?
No, I think
that was it.
I think you
nailed
it. That
was good? Yeah, you like that?
Nailed it, Jim.
Yeah. I mean, or you could be like dad and never shoot a buck.
Yeah.
Ever.
It's out of respect, Jim.
It's out of respect.
Out of respect.
Yeah.
Take all out of does. A knife shot buck.
Oh, yeah, knife shot buck.
On a side note.
Oh, correct.
You actually, too, like, I can't stand when people are against hunting. It's helping the population. It's conservation. And people that are blanketly against hunting, they don't – I don't think they really, like, look at it intelligently or even understand what they're talking about. It's insane.
It's an emotional thing, I think. I think sometimes people get emotional with it. And I'm a, our jiu-jitsu coach is a vegan. So we've had some conversations.
Yeah.
And I don't understand his point of view and on certain things. And I think that as somebody who, you know, he doesn't have kids and stuff like that. Like I, you know. My kids are the most important thing in my life, you know, and to put like the value of, you know, a squirrel that's running across the road and to try to say that my kids are, should mean the same to me as that squirrel.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous. It's like, I'd step over my father to help my children, you know, and he would step over me to help my children. Because they're the next generation, and that's just...
And they're not douchebags like
me. They're not douchebags like me. You know?
I would step over any fucking... I would step over you to help any fucking...
I know. And you should.
No, just fucking
that's
children.
Right.
He would step over you to help Donald Trump.
That's right.
That's
how
it would. No, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't quite go that far.
Actually, I think when you look at the jiu-jitsu coach, and I don't know if everybody will agree with this, but you got to give him credit, right? So I can't stand people that are against hunting, but that will eat an animal that's been kept confined its whole life and farm for that purpose. But he goes out of his way to not eat meat. He doesn't wear leather. Like, he doesn't just say this
no,
is
no,
not
yeah,
it.
No,
he lives it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he
yeah,
works
it.
Hard at it, and yeah. I can respect that.
You know what? He's also – I had the opportunity to give him a little bit of shit. But he's starting to kind of get into it. I was like, well, you don't even grow any of your food.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, how can you – I mean, it's like a
– I actually have – like, so he – there are some out there that would be like, you know, they're not touching – I have respect for him because down in Brazil, he ordered – you know, he's a vegan, so he ordered you know, like a vegan meal, but he tried to order in Portuguese, and apparently somebody screwed up, and he got like basically a ham sandwich. So instead of just going and throwing it in the garbage, he ate it. out of respect for the animal, that because that it would the sandwich shouldn't have been made or whatever. So he ate it because he's not going to let it go to waste. See, and it's like,
that's awesome.
All right, you know, that's the kind of vegan that I can get behind, because he's, you know, it's like,
he's eating meat.
Exactly. No, because he's, you know, it's,
because he can be guilted into eating.
Yeah, he can be guilted into eating anything, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on, Brian, I'm going to throw this away. You son of a bitch. You know how many fries I've gotten to eat? It's like, Brian, I'm throwing these away. It's like, son of a bitch, I just ate.
whatever. There's a lot.
We went to a public bull riding event in the city, and there were protesters, and one of the guys obviously had on leather shoes protesting that these bulls were mistreated. I think rodeo bulls get treated pretty damn well.
Yeah.
And, well, hold on here. Let me cinch your belt up around your dick.
I don't think it's not, you know, there's a belt around their waist it's tight. It's not like you're
no,
it's not completely torturing. It's not, no. You know, it's. I don't think it's as
they
bad.
They still
as
reproduce.
Using.
They if it was that tight, would they that get, stop the?
They get star treatment.
Yeah,
like, all right, we're gonna make things uncomfortable for you for
it's 24
seconds.
Okay, well, I tell you what, then we can go into the UFC and we'll start putting ball cinches on
you
guys.
Think
so
everything
hey,
is, you
know
is super comfortable?
You know what?
We get better fights. Let's
give me a
tie cup.
Give
up.
Me a harem. When I'm not not in there, you know, give me like
so
massages,
you guys put on a better show,
and the best treat me like a fucking king.
Yeah,
you know what? And those animals know what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
They know what they're doing. You know, yeah, you know,
it's an uncomfortable. I'm sure it's uncomfortable.
Fine. Bullfighting's kind of
well,
messed
hold
up.
On
that
here.
You're sitting
bullfighting,
there,
you... no. Bullfighting is, I mean, they feed the village with the bull.
I understand
so
that.
And they use every part of it.
I understand that. But
so
you're
it's
also
not like they're...
You're also poking something
that's tough to get behind.
You know, yeah. Like, well, poke, stab you with this little spear, stab you with this little spear, stab you with this little spear. You know.
Yeah, but that thing is, too, is, I mean, they have a chance.
Well, yeah.
They gore the friggin'
again,
matadors.
Then,
they don't really have a chance.
No, yeah, no, right. No bulls are getting but, brought out to pasture after goring the matador. Yeah.
It's like, but, okay, he won.
Yeah, let's give him a harem.
Yeah, here you go.
They're free.
But you know, the rodeo bulls, man, they
get treated.
Got
pretty
life.
Good.
And to circle back to my point, would you rather me tie your balls up or make shoes out of you?
Go ahead, make shoes out of me after you friggin' kill me. I don't have a problem with that.
So
either.
So
I mean,
you would rather be made into shoes than get your balls tied up one night and then get the harem. That's your that's your position.
Every now and then.
Take.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Then get the harem.
I would tie night. My balls up for you.
Hell, you don't want to be a pair of shoes.
No, I don't want to be shoes.
No. born with a date of execution, you know.
But the only one, hold on here, shoes, they're only here because they're made in the shoes. They're raised. They're
yeah,
bred,
exactly.
And
but
they're born to
yeah,
be made in the shoes.
But it's not a life of harem.
Yeah, it's not a life of harem.
No, it's not.
In comparing a rodeo bull to a you know, fucking beef cattle, it's not comparable. Here's, you know, Bodacious gets to fuck some dudes up and then
I wasn't sure where you're going with that.
And then,
wait a minute,
sounds
and
really
then,
cool
and then,
I'm confused about this harem
and then screw a bunch, you know, and then he gets to lay down in the pasture and kick it when he's old. As opposed to, you know, being a freaking
okay, well, that's
cattle.
We have to go on and see how many.
You can pick your mic up a little bit if you want.
We want to see how many tie cups we can tighten up for UFC fighters. Then we'll have to ask like your wife
said,
about
like
the harem.
Like you said, yeah.
We'll
like
have to
said,
ask your wife
he'll
about
tie
the harem.
He'll tie it up tight if you give him the harem
world. That's a hypothetical, and I don't play a hypothetical. But
didn't Diesel say something to the guy?
Oh, Diesel had him enraged. He was just taunting him. And that was actually the straw that broke the cow's back is they had the signs, and Diesel was like, yeah, you know, you guys have swung me. He's like, could you tell me some more about it? And the one guy was like, yeah, I finally got through to somebody. And he's like, do you want to, you know, grab a burger while we talk about it? And the guy's like, absolutely. And Diesel's like, you want to eat a fucking cow? And then the guy realized that he'd been played and lost his mind. There was police that came. And it was, yeah.
We'll have to have the D's on.
Yeah.
actually, I got the opportunity to have dinner with Todd Hayes. He's an Olympic silver medalist in the bobsled.
I'm pretty sure.
For the U.S., he was coaching. I think the Finnish women's team for a bit. He was on the bobsledding team with our strength and conditioning coach Martin Rooney, and when he was growing up, he was a bull rider. And he's a pretty big man.
Yeah.
And he was telling me some stories about it. And it sounds pretty fucking awesome. yeah.
I don't know, man. You call me a sissy. I don't want to ride a bull. Those things are...
You're a sissy.
I'm a sissy. Yeah. I want nothing to do with that. They're gigantic. They're very angry. You can't win. If you get knocked off and he comes after you, you lose that fight every time.
That's like his last ride. The end of him and his brother's rodeo career. They were only like teenagers. You know, they were pretty young kids. And his brother drew a bull by the name of Little Tornado. And he got psyched out by everybody. And he wouldn't ride him. He sat down on him. Bull kicked. And he got off and couldn't ride him. And then Todd went out and he rode his, you know, hopped on his bull and came out of the chute, kicked around and got bucked off. And when he was falling, the bull kicked and he had his cowboy hat on, you know, tucked down, has ears tucked in and stuff like that, you know, really pulled down tight. And the bull kicked him in the back of the head. Or the side of the head, and it took a chunk right out of the cowboy hat and laid him open. You know, and it's like they were out in like West Texas or something like that, you know, and his dad's like, get in the fucking truck. And that was the end of their bull riding careers. So, but yeah, sounds like a pretty fun time.
It does sound like fun. Yeah. I think we should do it once.
Let's do it. But, yeah, we'll give it a shot one of these days.
More like 80.
Yeah, 80. I want the kids to ride sheep. We'll do that. So that's pretty much all we got for tonight.
We do. We actually do have one more question.
Oh,
though.
One more question.
Jason Del Palazzo wants to know if we ever go out of state on hunting trips.
We have gone to Pennsylvania, but not as much.
Yeah, not recently.
Yeah, we'd like to. You inviting us?
You know, the invitation is accepted.
Yeah, it's a nice piece of property you got there.
I've been angling hard for the Montana trip, man. Yeah. I want
to
get out there.
Yeah, we need to. If we go out, I don't know when Coyote and stuff is out there, but
no.
You know, I should be free in the end of February.
Year round, isn't it?
I think it is.
I think it is. They're varmint.
Yeah, they're varmint out there. Nice and cold. But yeah, so tune in on Friday. We're gonna have Shorty Rock, Sean Sotella. Cage Fury flyweight champion, soon to be in the UFC.
Better be.
Better be in the UFC soon. He'll be joining us on Friday and on our Christmas Eve
podcast.
We're going to be playing a lot of Christmas music and holiday music for Pat because he loves it.
Loves it.
As the man running the switcher, there will be no Christmas music.
He listens to it all year round.
So you're a fucking Scrooge?
Yeah. I'm not a Scrooge. I just don't like Christmas music.
I don't know how you could do that.
I hate Christmas music. It's like a pet
peeve. The weather outside is frightful.
Haven't you ever heard Feliz Navidad? So tune in on Friday. That's all for the Hands On Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a good night.